Podcast. Welcome to the Curio Podcast, where two old friends hash out current events, politics, and whatever strikes our fancy. Visit us on Twitter at Podcast Curio. Join our Facebook page. Check out our website, curiopodcast.org. And don't forget to subscribe. Thanks for listening.
Gone away from each other for so long.
No, it's been terrible.
Because we need each other to keep our brains not mired down.
Yes.
We wring each other's brains out, I think.
Yes. Yeah.
And we haven't had that.
It's an organizational thing, I think.
Or, like, it's us against them instead of us alone in our houses against the world.
That could be it.
We're like the dynamic duo.
Yes.
Okay. Yep. But we were scared of COVID, so we canceled for a while, and
it got a little twitchy there. It still is. I mean,
it still is twitchy.
We're still breaking records, right? Aren't we?
Oh yeah, yeah. Not as bad as New York or Florida or Texas, but like, yeah, we opened up everything too soon, and I was getting really scared because Quinn had to go to a funeral.
One
of his great aunts died, and he was a pallbearer, you know, and they wore masks or whatever.
Yeah.
But I started to remember that he's 26 now and off of our health insurance. And what happens if he catches coronavirus and has to go to the hospital?
Right.
I mean, he's young. The chances are low that he would have any adverse effects, but I just started to imagine, like, $100,000, $200,000. Not that we would be responsible for that. He would be, but still.
Right. That's a huge burden. That's
the rest of your life.
Yeah. That's bad news. And it's so, I mean, when you think of all the Americans that are in that situation.
So many.
And that most of them are the essential workers who are out there delivering things and making food for people and, you know,
right,
and they're putting themselves at risk every day,
and they probably don't have insurance,
right?
So more than ever, I am seeing that we actually really, really do need, for the sake of our society, healthcare for all.
Yeah.
Like, okay, you don't agree with it on a, because you think it's socialist. Well, look at the economy right now.
Right.
We need to take care of each other so that this, you know, monster economy can work.
Exactly.
It's just, I've got very frustrated and scared because he 26.
Right.
Anyway, how have you been?
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, some days are hard. Some days are not.
Are you still working?
I'm still working. We're like pins and needles every day, just waiting to see the next thing is going to be. They have a lot of online classes, which have worked out really, really well. They've got people from all over the country.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So it's really exciting. But the in-person classes are not very well attended. They made some changes, like the pottery situation is all outside now, which is really cool. I mean,
that would be cool anyway.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's ideal as long as the weather's nice and all that stuff. But yeah, to work outside just seems like a really natural thing to do.
It does, especially if you're working with clay.
Yeah. So they're doing okay. But, you know, again, it's like it just takes another monster wave, and Newsom says, hey, guess what? Everybody shut down.
Right. My sister works for Burke Williams, the spa. And
God, what are they doing? I mean,
oh, God. Well, they had opened and then within 2 weeks had to close again. Anyway, why don't we take a break? And when we come back, we can talk about the fact that we live in an authoritarian fascist state now.
Oh, okay. Cool.
Goody.
Over the edge, sicker than you planned.
Constitution book?
I was going to read the specific amendments that are being violated right now by the Department of Homeland Security.
Do we have enough time?
We don't, really.
There are so many things being violated by this... can't talk. Whiskey. Hello.
Hello, Jameson.
It's not whiskey. It's just confusing. There's just too many things every single day.
Every day. Every day. There's so many things. You can't even keep up with it.
Right.
The Friday night news dumps?
Oh, my God.
We're all...
Every Friday, I'm like, what the fuck is going
to
happen?
You know, in Germany, people can get prescriptions from their doctors to go spend a couple weeks at a spa.
Really?
We need that. When Trump is done, we're going to need a reconciliation tribunal of truth. The people that have done bad things will be put away, and the rest of us should get some kind of pampering.
Free spa days?
Yeah, so that we can, like, uncontort our brains, I think.
It's going to take a long time.
Okay, so here's the first one. It's the very first amendment to the Constitution of the United States of America, implying that it's the most important.
Right. Number one.
Number one. And I feel like it's being violated right this second in our country. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press, or of the right of people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances.
Oh, yeah. All of those.
Except
for the religion. Well, the Muslim ban.
Yeah.
But I don't know if that's actually...
Well, that implies you're supposed to also put into that freedom from religion.
Right.
So that's being violated.
Yes.
I mean, Pence is giving speeches about religion and abortion and whatever, because he's a robot. The other one I think is being violated, especially, is Amendment 4, seizures, searches, and warrants.
Oh, yeah. Just kidnapping people off the streets, throwing them in vans, and taking them away.
And not telling them why.
Right.
The right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated, and no warrants shall issue but upon probable cause, supported by oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the place to be searched and the persons or things to be seized.
Doesn't say anything about busting into somebody's house and just killing them.
It does not say that.
But you'd think that wouldn't be okay.
I think that's not okay.
You'd think that people who would do that would be in jail right now, this very freaking second.
You would think that. You would also think that the men that killed George Floyd would be in jail right this second. But they aren't. They got out on bail. They're roaming the streets. One of the ones, not the main one, Derek Chauvin or whatever the fuck his name is, one of the other guys who was just like sitting on his back or whatever, was out at a Costco the other day, and somebody like was taping him and saying, "Are you the guy? You're one of the guys, aren't you?" And he was like, "Yeah."
Oh my God, just shameless. Like,
shameless.
Yeah.
And the person was like, "What are you doing here? You should not be out in public. How dare you?" And he's like, "I understand your frustration."
Oh my God.
What the fuck? But also, back to the point. Well, one of the points, people are being illegally detained. Questioned, never read their rights by unmarked people in unmarked cars.
For supposedly defacing and damaging public property or federal property.
Yeah.
Now, the beef I have with that is like most of these protesters you see are peaceful.
Yes.
And since Trump threw down this new thing he's doing, all he has to do is gather a bunch of his lackeys together, pay him some cash, and say, "There's a protest going on here. I need you to go set some shit on fire."
And it's then, proven and then that happened with the Boogaloo movement.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That's been proven that that is happening. And yesterday or today, he started, I mean, he's already started this, but today he got more serious about claiming that the election is about to be rigged.
Oh, yeah.
So this all ties in with his invading cities, which historically and whatever are democratically run. They have more Democrats than Republicans usually, where people gather and there's education and culture.
Right.
So he's attacking the cities and he's installing his own secret police force in anticipation
of this happening when the election, when he loses
when
the
he loses
election,
the election, yeah.
He's going to claim that it was rigged. And when people come out and protest, he will have already set a precedent so that he can come out and squelch those protests.
Right. And if he calls them terrorists and rioters and anarchists and Antifa.
Right.
He's calling anyone who protests
yeah.
a terrorist.
Yeah. So what we need to do is we need to find other ways to protest that don't involve going out into the streets.
Or going out into the streets in a different way. I had an idea today that I thought was really funny.
What was it, Cass?
So it was inspired by this wall of moms in Portland.
Oh, yeah.
The moms showing up. And they were singing Hands Up, Don't Shoot in a sing-songy, almost lullaby kind of way. Which inspired me to think, can you imagine a wall of people showing up and laughing? Just fucking laughing hysterically, all together, really loud, at the feds.
That would make them very mad.
Right, but you're not doing anything. You're just standing there.
No.
Not that that stops them from anything, but if you're just laughing.
Yep, or just walking silently.
Walking silently,
or just
that's
standing
the other
there.
One.
Not doing anything.
Right.
I think, though, that they will find ways to detain people and commit acts of violence against anybody who goes out.
Right.
They will.
No, I know. I believe that. I just don't think that people should stop going out.
No, I don't either.
I don't think people should get scared and stay in their houses.
People need to speak up and they need to come together.
Mm-hmm.
But I also think that there can be very, very effective ways to get a point across without putting anybody's lives in danger.
Right.
We've already done it. We did it. We shut the fucking economy down.
Right.
Oh, I'm not going out because Trump's president. I'm not spending any money.
Right.
I'm not going anywhere. I'm not buying gas. I'm
Goya.
Not buying Amazon.
I'm not buying beans.
I'm not buying any fucking Goya beans, that's for sure. I'm just going to stay home.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to stay home. I might go to the bank and take all my money out. Seriously, there's very, very peaceful ways of protesting, nonviolent, social, disobedient ways to
right.
get the point across.
And also, I think large groups of people making a lot of noise in unison can be very powerful also.
Mm-hmm.
And the images coming out of Portland, and I'm guessing Detroit today, tonight probably.
Yeah.
Might sway some people who didn't understand what was going on before this.
Well, so I was.
What?
I subscribe to the White House weekly newsletter.
That's very brave of you.
White House Reads, because
mm-hmm.
I want to see what's coming out of that camp.
Mm-hmm.
And they regurgitate right-wing news sources. So I I did a little research on a recent article, and I looked to see, you know, it was a local Portland news station. So I started digging around. Well, who owns that station? They're part of this big, giant web of media conglomerates.
Mm-hmm.
And they... It's a product that they sell.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like you're just getting news. You're getting news, if it's true news, with a slant. Or you're getting opinion that's being marketed as news. Like Fox right. News is truly an entertainment channel. They are not journalists.
No.
They have opinions. It's all opinion.
Mm-hmm.
And these stations, naturally, they cater to the local population.
Right.
Because they want to make money. So you're never quite sure what you're getting from these local news sources.
Mm-hmm.
If it's NPR, if it's Reuters, if it's BBC, I mean, right now I'm all about BBC because they don't have any skin in this game.
Well, we get most of our news from PBS.
And PBS? And I, yeah. So there are really credible news sources out there.
Mm-hmm.
But this particular article was, their slant on Portland was like, what?
Right.
That they overran the police station. They were setting fire to things. There That's were dumpsters on fire. All this other crazy stuff. And I tried to read it with a blank mind. Like,
if you were just a person who believed everything.
If I was just a person who was like, oh, I'm going to read the news today.
Right.
And it wasn't so over the top that it made you go, what?
Right.
Language is so important.
Mm-hmm.
Simple words, simple innuendos, mm-hmm. that kind of stuff. It was very, very much right-leaning. Mm-hmm. Trump quotes, you know, making him out to be the hero. His quote about how he was helping Portland.
Oh, my God. You want to help Portland?
They didn't ask for help. Nobody asked for help. Nobody.
Everyone has asked for coronavirus help. Right. Send that kind of help.
Nobody in Detroit asked for help.
No, they told him to stay away.
Nobody in Chicago, nobody nope. in Portland, nobody's asking for this help. They, like you said, they're asking for help with
tests.
Coronavirus
yeah.
and tests and that kind of stuff. And he's not giving them that. So,
well, there's that whole idea that's happened in the last 30 years since, you know, CNN and Fox News came on the scene where the news has to be profitable now.
Right.
So you're not going to get unbiased news from most places. You're going to get what's going to sell.
Right. It's a commodity.
Right.
It's a product.
So who are the real journalists? Who should we be watching right now? I think it's, you know, the major newspapers are still, I think, mostly reliable.
They are, but they also cater to their population so that they can survive.
I know. That's why I said mostly.
Yeah. I mean, LA Times is very liberal.
Mm-hmm.
They're also part of that whole conglomerate of media
right.
people. NPR isn't.
No.
PBS isn't.
Mm-mm.
BBC isn't.
Mm-mm. I think Yamiche Alcindor is my favorite right now. I've mentioned her before.
She is a powerful force.
She's a powerful, calm force. Mm-hmm. She doesn't let anything rattle her. She just keeps going.
Yep.
But I do wish that someone... So Trump started his coronavirus briefing television show season 2 today.
Right, because the ratings were so good.
Right. He talked about ratings.
The tweet sent me through the roof. I read this last night, and my blood pressure went up. I felt it happen.
Yep.
For reals.
Mm-hmm.
Not because the people need information. It was about ratings.
Yep. It not was, to calm everyone.
No, it was a blatant ego boost. That's how he was pitching it, was that the ratings were so good and everybody loved him so much.
Well, his rally, the last rally he had, failed. Nobody showed up. He canceled a rally in New Hampshire because people weren't going to show up.
Well,
he claimed it was
of,
because of the rain.
Right.
Not true. He just canceled it because no one was going to show up. So he's not getting that adoration that he's used to getting.
Right. And he really needs that.
He needs that.
He needs it. He's like that's his addiction.
Right. But I wish somebody would ask him now that the daily briefings are back on, like a very point blank about the Russian bounties on American soldiers.
He has yet to address that at all.
I want to hear him lie about it, though. I want to him on the record. He hasn't said anything about it.
Except that he didn't know about it.
That's it.
That he wasn't briefed.
So now you've been briefed. What do you have to say?
And what's being done about it?
What's been done? How many people died under this program? And is he getting any kickbacks because of it?
He's getting something out of it.
He's getting something. Why wouldn't he say anything?
And it's one of those things that he could politicize to his own benefit. Enormously.
Right, because he loves the military so much.
Right. I mean, you want the military on your side? Then here it is, dude.
Right.
On a silver fucking platter.
Instead, he has hired goons who don't know how to act in a riot situation that they have caused, beating up on Navy veterans for no reason. He was fucking standing there. They broke his hand.
Right.
That guy was awesome. When I found out that they broke his hand in several places, but he still managed, when he was walking away, to flip them off with both hands, I was like, that guy's a fucking hero.
He's a badass hero. That's...
That's military right there. Not those goons dressed up like toy soldiers. No.
No.
If they were real military, they would know that there is an oath. There is a way to act. You can't act that way in America and get away with it.
I would like to know how he recruited all of those people. How did they
So there's the whole thing with Betsy DeVos's brother, what's his name? Eric Prince. He runs Whitewater. He has hired mercenaries, and he's been around since the Iraq War with George W. Bush. He was part of the whole Dick Cheney hired soldiers thing. So he would get a private contract to hire private soldiers to send to Iraq. So he already has this thing going. There's a reason why they don't have badges.
Right.
So some spokesperson, I don't remember his name, came out today and was saying that the reason that they aren't identified is because they don't want people doxing these guys online.
Right. Yeah, I read that too. And I was like, that's bullshit.
That's bullshit. Show us one instance where that happened.
And
because
if you're not doing anything bad, why wouldn't you?
Exactly.
What are you
No one
of?
Would dox anybody if they weren't complete and total fascist dickheads.
Right. If they were, if
sorry,
were
I'm getting really mad.
But right now, the rules are out the window. We're on the verge of a total free for all. And I
been predicting this.
Yeah. We
all along.
By playing by the rules, we're losing.
Right.
That Trump administration has created their very own game, and it has no rules. The only rule is win.
That's it.
Meanwhile, the Democrats are like, no, we have this constitution. No, we've got
Let's
this.
Subpoena these
we
people.
Have all, we have this process. And it's like,
it's not working.
Point, to me, it's become obvious it's not working and it's not going to.
Mm-mm.
Trump has said he's not going to leave the White House.
Yeah, he has said that.
And that's what's going to happen. He'll
declare a national
Biden
emergency.
Will win, even if it's by a landslide, he has an out. There is a plan for him to stay in office. And I have to believe the Democrats know this and are doing something about
it. Well, something came out the other day. It kind of got swept under the rug. But there has been the top Democrats in the Senate and the House called for a probe by one of the inspectors general.
Right.
Because there has been an information laundering campaign. One of the senators, and I think it's Senator Johnson, who spent 4th of July in Moscow. He's one of those. He's the head of a committee in the Senate. And from what I could glean from the information, he's been sending information because the senators, especially the ones on the committees, they have access to classified information, intelligence.
Yes, they do.
There has been some sort of campaign where a senator, and they think it's Senator Johnson, has been laundering intelligence information to the Russians.
Awesome.
So a probe has been called for. And when I read that, I was like, this isn't enough. The Republicans don't care about investigations anymore. They don't care about the rules.
No.
They're not going to care about a probe. They'll just fire the inspector general. That's been proven. Every
right.
time.
And that's his shtick. And if you look at Trump's history and how he operates.
That's it.
He makes a big deal. He gets all this support. And then when the shit hits the fan, he just bottoms out and says, oh, sorry, I'm not going to pay you.
Right.
Or I'm going to sue you. Oh, you're going to sue me because I didn't pay you for work done and materials?
I'm suing you.
I'm going to sue you. And this is going to sit in court until you are bankrupt.
Right.
He knows how to do this. But he's doing it in an international
right.
level. Like,
there's so many things that have come out in just the past 2 days. He asked someone in the British government if they could move the British Open to his resort there in England. And
what?
Apparently that's not against the law. The judge that was overseeing part of the Deutsche Bank.
Oh, God.
Her husband and son got shot. Her son died.
Mm-hmm.
So it was tied to the Epstein case where there was money being laundered, etc. And obviously Trump's involved somehow.
Right. And the shooter committed suicide. I'm making little quotation marks with my fingers here.
He worked for the Trump campaign.
Oh, really?
Yes. Not only that, he's a fucking misogynist. I saw a clip of him on Fox News from years ago. He's like a Fox News commentator.
Yeah.
He runs some sort of men's rights group that hates women. And he talks about feminists being terrorists and women are only good for certain things in the television clip.
Right.
So he hates women like Trump does, probably right. abused women like Trump does, and then ended up shooting this federal judge's family up.
Yeah.
So either he was a lackey.
And then he committed suicide, which I don't.
Not a lackey, a patsy, sorry.
I don't get that, you know. Why would you do that? Why wouldn't you just shelter under the rank, nasty, greasy wing of your people and disappear?
Maybe he didn't want them to arrest him and them find out any information
from
him.
Or maybe somebody just knocked him off.
Maybe he was such a fanatic, though, that he was just like, hey, I've only got a few more years to live.
Life.
He was an old
yeah,
guy.
I'll give my life for this.
Right.
Yeah, that could very well be.
Because people who follow Trump are fanatics.
Yeah, they're not well.
No.
They're
There's
not
been
well.
Too much news the past few weeks.
Well, it's rapid fire right now. And it feels like folks are getting weary of it.
Oh, yeah.
People are not. And it's, you know, it's like a wave. For me, it's a wave. Like one day I'm ready to throw
fight.
Down and fight
right.
and fight. And the next day I'm just like, I can't. I need to rest.
Mm-hmm.
My brain, my emotions,
mm-hmm.
everything.
Well, they say that that's the best thing to do. Don't quit.
Right.
Rest.
Rest. But
so,
I think there are some folks out there, they're done. They're like, I can't take this shit anymore. I want my life back. I want things to be back to normal.
Right.
I don't want to wear a mask. I want to go shopping. I want to go to the beach. I want to go here. I want to do this. I want to have parties. I want to see my family. And none of that's real. And none of that's a reality right now. You can't
mm-hmm.
do those things.
Mm-mm.
Not safely.
You
but
also can't
mindset,
protest safely.
No, no. But the mindset that has been kind of cemented into our society the past 3.5 years is make your own reality. Make your own reality and live by that. Isolate yourself instead of truly physically isolating yourself, for instance, for the pandemic and handling it. And it's hard, but handling it in real time, in reality, people are kind of isolating themselves in their own little sick worlds
mm-hmm.
where things are not as they are in reality. You
mm-mm.
know what I mean? Like,
mm-hmm.
I'm not going to wear a mask. There's no pandemic.
Right.
Or, you know, whatever. The somebody's going to fix the government. We're just, after the election, everything's going to be fine.
Right.
And no, it's not.
No, it could get much worse.
It's right now, we are on a... You know that part when you're on a roller coaster and you're like this? And you're
up, getting up to the top of the mountain?
You're going and it's like tick, 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 tick. And every time there's a tick, it feels like you're going to fall almost. Yeah. And your stomach lurches and you get that feeling in your belly and in your brain. And it's like fight or flight. Every fucking day is a tick. And I don't know how much farther we're going to go.
Dude.
Before it hits the fan, but it's not going to be over in November. It's going to get worse.
It's interesting that you bring up people's own realities. I had a conversation with my friend Kelly yesterday about that exactly. About if everyone is creating their own realities, what is the collective reality? And do we all create the correct collective reality? And why are we creating this collective reality? So we never got to any answers. It was just, you know, coming up with these ideas. And I was saying that life is like a family sitting at a table, kind of. We're all sitting at the same table, but we're all sitting in different places at the same table. We're all looking at the table in a different way. We're all having different reactions to the table. Maybe somebody's vision is better than the other person's,
Everybody's a different size and shape, so their relation to the table is a little different.
Exactly. So if you think of it that way, like, yes, we're all creating this reality right now because that nobody knows for sure, you know, but we're all looking at it in different ways. We're all reacting to the things that are happening in different ways.
Right.
And I think what's happening is just part of the natural sort of pendulum swing. Like, society forgets that they're bad guys, right? So, like, almost 100 years ago, Hitler starts becoming popular and writes his book and whatever. It's almost been 100 years.
Wow.
So that's a lifetime, right? And the people that were alive during Hitler's reign are most likely not with us anymore. Collectively, we've forgotten what it feels like, I think.
Right. Yeah. It's like most Americans who were born here are third generation in or mm-hmm. farther.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know what it's like to not have a democracy. Right. We don't know what to fight for. We don't know how to fight. We don't know how to appreciate what we have.
Right.
None of us have close family members, you know, not none of us, but most of us white folks who have been here for a while.
Right.
We didn't hear stories from our grandparents about what it was like in a different country under a dictatorship.
In a refugee camp or
it's
whatever.
Not part of our experience.
No.
Now, you and I are of the age where we've heard those stories from family members probably to some degree.
Yeah.
Or friends, family members. But a lot of people haven't,
mm-hmm.
and they don't know, like, they don't know what it's like to be in a different country and see how other people live that in a non-democracy.
Right.
Much less, you know, watch your grandparents well up with tears because they're having this terrible memory of mm-hmm. something that happened.
Because they were starving for years or whatever.
Right.
We don't know that we should be constantly fighting to keep true to our Constitution, because we don't know anything other than that. We just assume that the Constitution will keep working.
And we've been fed a narrative that America is the greatest country on earth.
Right.
We have been fed this story that Americans are these fiercely independent people who are
free
thinkers and hard workers and all this other stuff, which maybe was true a few generations ago.
It's not now.
But it's not. We are a nation of fucking entitled marshmallows.
Yeah.
We have no idea how to fight. We don't even know what to fight for.
Right.
Because our reality is so small, it is so skewed from the broader reality of the world, we're stuck.
Mm-hmm. We're stuck.
It's kind of bound to happen, if you ask me.
Mm-hmm. That's what I was talking about, this cycle. Like, it's bound to happen because the pendulum has to swing.
Yeah.
I don't know why, but it just does. It always has.
Somebody, there's a saying, history doesn't repeat itself. It rhymes.
Oh, that's good.
Good one. And I think that's in the circle of historians. That's kind of a guiding,
right,
idea.
So, of course, all of the parallels between Trump and Hitler aren't exact, but the feelings are the same.
But it's, yeah.
He's got the same kind of ambition that Hitler had.
He has the same kind of control over the people.
Mm-hmm.
Now, mind you, not all of the people. When Hitler showed up, Germany was in a pretty fucked up place. It was after
economically,
World War
One.
Economically, they were devastated.
Mm-hmm.
They were mangy dog with their tail tucked,
mm-hmm,
basically. And Hitler shows up and he's like, "Here's the plan, guys. We're gonna bring everything back."
Right.
And so it does. It gets
it's
better.
Not your fault. It's these people's fault.
Right. And it gets better and it gets better. And people are emboldened and they're like, "Oh my gosh, this is great. My great grandfather thought Hitler was great."
Because, really?
Well, in the beginning.
Oh, in the beginning. Okay.
Because there was prosperity. You know, they were getting back on their feet. So in the beginning, he was like, "This is wonderful." But, you know, that didn't last. Obviously. But
you could see where a population would get stuck in that. And just like we see today, the people that are just kind of ignoring what Trump does. I feel like we're going to get a few years past his presidency and get to see for real all of the horrible things. And a lot of people that I know personally go, "Ugh, it's not for me," or "I'm whatever." Like, there's, I could see where that happened when you think about the good Germans who look the other way. That's happening now here.
Yes, it is. It is. Because folks are,
they're tired.
We have been conditioned to look to an authority to take care of us,
mm-hmm,
from birth.
Mm-hmm.
It's part of our DNA.
Right.
And so folks who default to, "Oh, Trump's not that bad," in the beginning, "let's give him a shot. Let's see what he can do."
Right.
The Republicans aren't that bad. Why would they do that? They wouldn't destroy democracy. This is America. Anybody in their right mind is going to fight for America because we are the greatest nation on earth. Right.
The Republicans love the Constitution, don't they?
Right. They're all about the Constitution. Oh, you know, Trump, yeah, he's kind of a doofus. It's probably not a great image in the world. But, you know, Congress is going to take care of it. Congress has got this down. We have checks and balances, right? Well, you know, he can't fire all the people. He can't put all the judges in. All those people can't be as corrupt, right? Right? He can't send troops into cities. The states have those rights, right? What are the states doing? What's Congress doing? What? And that's where we are now. Congress and the states are playing a game that
doesn't exist.
It doesn't exist anymore. And Americans want so badly to believe in that. I want to believe in it.
I do too. That's easier.
I want Adam Schiff and Nancy Pelosi and all of them to rise up and, you know, with their capes and
just take care of it
and their magical weapons, their pens, and take care of it. But they're not going to. It's not going to happen. It's going to happen. It's coming down to the people.
Let's say that the Democrats take the Senate, they keep the House, and Joe Biden wins the White House. Who removes Trump from the White House?
They're going to have a military force come in and take him out.
Who?
Exactly.
The military has rolled over. The Joint Chiefs of Staff, they go, "Oh,
I have
that
to believe
wasn't right.
That the entire military hasn't rolled over."
I
think that the private...
I hope after seeing Portland, it has swayed a few of them to be like, oh shit.
I think the private militias are going to be a big fucking problem. And that's why I'm like, when you say we need to go out in the streets and protest, my gut feeling on that is it's good to be together. It's good to raise voices together. But a group of protesters can't really win if they're dead. And if you get a bunch of fucking gun-toting militia nut jobs in their big monster trucks and their guns show up to a protest and plow down half those people, send them into hospitals where they're already overloaded by right. COVID cases, that's not smart. It's not smart,
but...
That's not how you win. You have to stay alive to win. Listen to me. Win! It's all about winning. But right now it is! It's a battle between good and evil, and I don't like to go there because it sounds really religious, but
right.
Man, if ever anything has been illustrated.
Right.
Like, it's not okay. It's not okay. What's happening is not okay.
No.
It's bad.
Mm-hmm. But you know what? I love that wall of moms.
I do too.
I want to be in the wall of moms.
I know. I was like, I saw that and I was just like, I'm there with you.
They're all like us, like middle-aged ladies.
Right. And they got tear gassed. They fucking got tear gassed. And then more of them came the night after.
The next night, yeah.
Yep.
You know what? Women can handle a lot more than men, I think, sometimes. Certain things. We're used to degradation and pain.
Well, we are, and we're used to having to find ways
around it.
That
yeah.
with different means other than weapons mm-hmm. and fists.
Mm-hmm.
There was a, before we went to D.C., Heather Cox Richardson wrote an article, and it was about her friend who, she was talking to her friend, a black woman. And she said, I don't know, you know, we don't know how to do this. Like, this is new to most of us. And her friend said, well, yeah, because you're a bunch of fucking white people, basically.
Yeah.
But she didn't say it like that. I mean, the whole piece was very eloquent.
Mm-hmm.
But the idea was, is that, look, black people in America have had to fight every single day.
Mm-hmm.
Every single day,
mm-hmm.
there is a battle.
Mm-hmm.
We know how to do this. This is what we do.
Right.
You need to pay attention to us and learn.
Right.
Like, we're right here. We can tell you how to do this. We've been doing it forever.
Right.
And that made so much sense to me. Like, yeah.
We should be, yeah, listen to black women.
Listen to black women. They're probably the wisest freaking Americans there are right now.
Yeah.
No, I'm going to say they are. Not that I have the authority to say that, but I mean, come on.
Right. If any group. Well, them and Latina women, I think, also. If any group has the right to stand up and go, hey, dudes.
Right. Hey, white guys.
Hey, white guys. Fuck off. It's them.
Right. They've been doing it since this country was born.
Mm-hmm.
They've had to survive
mm-hmm.
and be cunning and smart and suffer
mm-hmm.
physically, mentally, emotionally.
Mm-hmm.
I can't even fathom the amount of loss. I can't wrap my head around it. And
Mm-mm.
it makes me want to cry.
Yeah. Throughout my life, I've imagined, like, what, I've tried to imagine the feelings that I would feel in my body if I knew that my ancestors were enslaved. And I don't know, but I imagine that it would feel like I was being crushed inside, that my soul was being squeezed, that the country that I lived in not only abused my ancestors and brought them here against their will, but doesn't acknowledge that they did that and never paid back their debt. to the people that built this country. Like,
right.
I just imagine it feeling overwhelmingly crushing. And I have no idea what that feels like on a day-to-day basis. But when I try to imagine it, that's what it feels like inside of my body. Like this, like, I can't breathe. And I was what I like to watch Japanese television. It's like it's a Japanese television channel for Americans. It's one of the PBS stations. And so it'll be like Journeys Through Japan or whatever. And one of the things that fascinates me is that the people that are taking these journeys are usually young people, and they are usually from English-speaking countries, but they also speak Japanese. That's always the case. There's been a couple from France or Bulgaria or something, but mostly they're Americans. And last night, the one I watched, the young man was interested in sumo. And so he went to this area of Japan that has produced more sumo wrestlers than any other. And it's always a very, it's like very gentle television. I watch it late at night and it's good to like relax to. And it's always, you know, everybody's apologetic and thank you, hello, whatever.
Gentle but television. I love it.
It's very gentle. But he's a black man, a young black man. And he works as an interpreter in Japan, English to Japanese. And I noticed in the clip that the Japanese they weren't treating him as other. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And I tried to imagine that same television show happening in Alabama.
Oh, God.
And I thought, the rest of the world doesn't have this problem the way we have it. There's
no.
And I was astounded, like thinking that imagine always living your life feeling like you're being watched, you're other.
Right.
You don't belong.
You have to behave a certain way to keep yourself safe.
And that doesn't even work. Breonna Taylor was fucking asleep in her own house.
In her own home. And those motherfuckers are still walking around. I can't.
We need to meditate.
But for me, that's a source of strength. Like, that's something I've learned to do in the recent past, is when I am feeling scared or lonely or whatever, mm-hmm. when I'm having a really bad feeling, mm-hmm. I try to think of somebody who has handled that feeling.
Mm-hmm.
And what have they done? That's a source of strength for me.
Right.
So right now, as I watch our country descend into something I never, ever could have imagined,
mm-mm.
I think of the people who have had to endure this, and I think of black women.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it gives me a source of strength. Like, they've done this. Mm-hmm. They've done this and survived.
Mm-hmm.
And excelled. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We can do it too.
Mm-hmm. We should also mention that John Lewis died this week.
Oh, yeah.
Which is very sad. That's do a great hope
loss.
It's been spreading even before he died that they might rename the bridge in Alabama.
Yes,
where the
I hope they
Edmund
do that.
Pettus Bridge or whatever it is. Right. That they would name it after him, and I hope that they actually follow through with that.
I hope so.
He was such an inspiration. We were very lucky to have him in our political lives.
In our society.
Yeah, we need more people like him. Kimmy.
we can all participate in that fight in our own ways.
And he was very inspiring in that way. Like, he was just a dude.
Right.
Right? And he encouraged everyone he met.
He believed in what he believed in, and he fought for it, and you could not take his light away.
There was nothing they could do to take that away from him. He had been beat several times.
His skull
fractured. Yeah. They couldn't take his dignity, his honor, his belief in rights away. Right. And that's something that I think we can all remember going into this final quarter. This final semester of the Trump administration.
Might be like a football game.
Oh. There might be innings. Watch football. How is it?
No, there aren't innings in football. How many? Oh, no. That's innings. That's the long game.
That's baseball.
Baseball.
Yeah.
Whatever. It's a shit show.
Let's just make a sports ball reference and say we're in the last one of those, whatever they are. Inning, quarter, half, whatever.
Oh.
And remember John Lewis, and remember that we all have a right to be here. We all matter. We all need to fight for each other.
We all need to do some soul searching too. Soul searching too. What's worth fighting for? What is worth fighting for? What is at risk? What can we lose? I mean, if you're gonna go to battle because you have to wear a mask, think about what you're willing to give up if your vote doesn't count. Think about what you're willing to give. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, there's the sorry, losing words.
It's okay. Whiskey. Oh, you drank your whiskey fast, girl.
I did, because I need it.
I need to catch up to you.
Good luck.
I'm a class A alcoholic. I drink all that alcohol.
Yeah, are you willing to give up alcohol? Just wait. Just wait till there's no booze on the shelves, folks. Wait till you can't get your Bud Light anymore.
Ooh,
wait till you
can
get your toilet paper.
Well, that's already happened.
Wait till you can't go to the tanning salon. Oh, wait, that's already happened. What else? What else could happen that would send people over the edge and wake them up?
No gas.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you don't have access to your money, you can't put gas in your car. Nobody's working. There's no food in the grocery stores. There's no toilet paper. What are you going to do? What are you willing to do to get Trump out of office so that you can get your normal life back?
Right. And every day it gets farther and farther away. Mm-hmm. Your normal life, 3.5 years ago, your normal life was a month away. Right now, your normal life's 5 years away at least.
Right. Yeah.
Think about that shit. Make some decisions about what you're willing to give up now so that you don't have to give up lots of other shit later.
Right.
That's where we're at.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no turning back. Every day there is no turning back.
You got to figure out how to win.
Well, it ain't going to be by playing by the rules, I'll tell you that.
So we're going to get into some good trouble then?
Let's get into good trouble.
Okay.
I can do it.
Any final thoughts, Kimmy?
Any more whiskey?
Whiskey!
Yeah, I better stock up on that.
Oh, I've got some whiskey, don't you worry.
I'd love to hear what you had to say.
For more info, please visit Twitter at Podcast Curio, Curio Podcast on Facebook, and CurioPodcast.org. And remember, Curio Podcast loves.